This is Jessica Dubois-Maz, a thought leadership associate in Huron Consulting Group's Research Enterprise Solution Practice, a group that focuses on serving clients engaged in research at academic medical centers, community hospitals, as well as health systems. This is the third in a series of podcasts we are delivering this year with a focus on research compliance. I'm joined today by my colleague, Beth Belt. Beth is a director in the Huron Consulting Group Higher Education and Life Science Practice, providing regulatory compliance advisory services to healthcare institutions. She has expertise in healthcare and research operations. Her specialty expertise is in Medicare's clinical trial policy and research billing. Beth currently leads several Huron initiatives on conducting coverage analyses and understanding research billing. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you, Jessica.
Beth, for more than a decade, research billing has been on compliance officers' radars. For those that are new to this topic or are new to the field, could you tell us a little bit about what exactly research billing compliance entails?
Certainly. Research billing really refers to billing for patient care items or services associated with clinical trial participation. Research billing compliance refers to the billing compliance programs that have been put in place in many organizations to ensure that the items and services provided to research participants are accurately classified as covered versus non-covered services and billed appropriately to insurance, study sponsor, or other funding sources. This includes developing policies and procedures, training, and developing auditing and monitoring plans to reduce the risk of incorrect billing to the patient, Medicare, Medicaid, and other third-party payers.
We hear a lot of talk about coverage analysis or sometimes a Medicare coverage analysis. What are these and how are they related to billing compliance?
Great question. A coverage analysis is often the term used to refer to a document that outlines the appropriate payer for items and services provided to patients as a result of participating in a clinical trial. Initially, it was referred to as a Medicare coverage analysis, or most people knew it as an MCA, as it was a tool created to assist in Medicare research billing compliance. Since Medicare coverage and billing rules are often seen as the gold standard and basis for insurance plan coverage, many academic medical centers, physicians, and other healthcare providers who participate in clinical trials now use this tool to assist in making billing decisions for all participants, regardless of insurance, and have begun to call this tool a coverage analysis, or CA. So many people use these words interchangeably. The CA is a comprehensive analysis of all clinical trial documents, including the protocol, informed consent form, contract, and budget, and any other related documents to determine whether the appropriate payer is the sponsor, Medicare, Medicaid, or another third-party payer. This analysis also includes the review of conventional care guidelines and Medicare coverage policies to determine those items or services that are considered routine care for the patient population and those that are being done for research purposes only.
And are there any leading practices that you would suggest to the audience that could mitigate risks for incorrect billing?
Well, I consider the CA that I just discussed as being a key to developing a leading practice, as this is the front-end document that initiates clinical research billing compliance processes. Conducting the CA and using the CA as the guide for segregating charges to the appropriate payer is critical. This helps to reduce the risk of billing to the patient and or their insurance for items or services paid for by the sponsor and that are being performed for research purposes only and not for making treatment decisions. The CA also reduces the risk of billing to Medicare for items and services that are related to non-qualifying clinical trials and not typically provided outside of a clinical trial. Other leading practices include utilizing a clinical trial management system that has the functionality to support research billing and integration with the hospital billing systems, as well as the creation of a research billing compliance committee that includes all key members of the organization that are involved in the research revenue cycle processes that can provide guidance and oversight to the program.
Have you seen any increased scrutiny by the regulatory agencies, for example, Medicare, and the Office of Inspector General in pre- or post-billing reviews or auditing as it relates to research billing?
A series of settlements beginning December 2005 by Rush University Medical Center definitely increased the industry's attention on research billing and still remains on compliance officers' radar. I haven't seen any recent uptick in audits by the regulatory agencies as it relates specifically to research billing, although I am aware of Medicare auditors asking for coverage analysis documents when doing a routine medical record review after they have identified a patient on a study during their review to make sure charges are billed appropriately and certain study information is documented in the medical record as required by CMS. However, CMS has recently published several articles and guidances on reporting of clinical trial identifiers on claims for patients participating in clinical trials that indicates to me that they are or will be doing more data mining, which often results in future auditing activities.
Finally, are there any new or emerging research billing compliance topics or trends that industry professionals should have on their radar?
You know, institutions are still trying to understand the current clinical trial policy, as we talked about, it's so complicated, that in essence has not really changed much since 2000. And institutions are still trying to effectively implement policies to reduce the risk of incorrect billing. However, I do think there will be some increased complexities when making coverage decisions as to what is considered routine cost or conventional care as healthcare moves toward a more personalized medicine approach. There is now a greater emphasis on preventative medicine and genetic testing that is not typically covered by Medicare, and research studies are now looking to determine the effectiveness of newer and more innovative treatments. That, in combination with ongoing concerns of the cost of healthcare and reduced research funding, should be factors to consider when institutions are determining the breadth and structure of their clinical research billing programs.
Thank you, Beth. I'd like to thank you for your time today and let those listening know that Beth's team will be presenting on this topic in further detail at upcoming conferences and workshops throughout the fall and winter. More information on these dates is available on our Huron website, huronconsultinggroup.com, as well as through our Twitter, @Huron. Thanks, and we look forward to our next podcast.